Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, yet to kick off the English Premier League and kicking it off in fine fashion. Of course, we've got the best team in England kicking off the season at Crystal Palace. But yet to discuss that and many more, much more for the season, is Chadley Nagel, who gave his predictions last week. And then, of course, we invite Don, Mr. Value Via, who's been missing, but he graces his presence this afternoon, Don.
Well, I don't come for pre-season friendlies. So I'm here. It's going to be an epic season, one with a whole lot of thrills and hopefully not too many spills. Very excited for the Premier League. Let's do this. Quite excited.
Darwin Nunez comes for pre-season friendlies.
He takes his shirts off in pre-season friendlies.
Okay, apparently. So early, eh?
Yeah.
But, gentlemen, plenty of action to look forward to. Of course, we did give our season predictions last week. Don, you weren't here for that. But let's dive straight into the fixtures. Of course, I did mention at the start of the podcast that Crystal Palace do entertain the mighty Arsenal at Selhurst Park. Chad, I'll start with you. It's a London derby. You familiar with London derbies? Your team have dominated them of late, just not the one against the Red and White Army. But how are you feeling ahead of this fixture?
I feel like, firstly, I'm excited for it. I think we should be in for a good game. Palace, no pushovers at Selhurst Park, especially under Patrick Vieira. But Arsenal are flying high, and but their preseason has been superb. I think they've got 100%. Win record in pre-season, but it's not just the results, it's the performances, it's the manner in which they are blowing teams away, free scoring, they're clicking, they're gelling, they've strengthened their squad with Gabriel Jesus, Alexander Zinchenko has come into the side, and you know, just to name a few. Palace, meanwhile, they've lost their player of the season in Conor Gallagher, who's returned to his parent club,
just sits on
Chelsea.
The bench.
Well, we don't know about that.
We'll dive into that later.
But I think, like even in this week's SBN, I've picked the bets of the week, and I've looked at this game, and for me, Arsenal at 8-10, that has to be the best play for the weekend. Add that in all multiples.
Where do you see Arsenal? Because there has been a lot of optimism, of course, from Arsenal fans, myself included. I'm expecting a really high finish for Arsenal. I feel like this is one of the best post-Wenger Arsenal squads that we've seen. And in fact, I'd go as far as to saying that in Odegaard and Jesus, Ozil and Alexis have been replaced. And it goes deeper than saying that Aubameyang is replaced and Lacazette. I feel like now Alexis Sanchez has been replaced. And that's quite crazy for an Arsenal fan, because he's been our king. He's been our Thierry Henry in the post-Wenger era. So where do you see Arsenal finishing, Chen?
I do have Arsenal in my top four. I have them fourth. Obviously, I agree with that. I think Arsenal are going to be pushing as high as possible. I think the highest they could finish, I think, is third. And I think they might even fancy their chances of claiming third place this season. But not just saying this because it's my team. You know, I just feel like Chelsea will always be in there. They've shown that. And the transfer window is still open. We see the names linked. Spurs have also done great business. Conte has been backed with several signings. So I think third place, the race for top four is exciting. Also, United, you just can't rule them out. But I do think Arsenal look...
Sorry, who?
I do think Arsenal look good enough to secure a return to Champions League finally.
Don, Crystal Palace against Arsenal. Patrick Vieira, of course, hosts his former club where he did claim a gold Premier League medal.
Yeah, so I think if we take that into account, it's the Vieira factor for me that is the question mark. As much as, yes, Arsenal are fantastic and they've strengthened in the right places at the right time, Vieira beats Arsenal 3-0 last season. So I don't think it's going to be one-way traffic. The last time Arsenal came to Selhurst Park, they got drubbed 3-0. Last opening, the first game of the season, last season, was Arsenal versus
the mighty Brentford,
which was a London derby. Mm-hmm. Arsenal lost the game 2-0.
Arsenal were away as well.
It was also away, and it was also on a Friday evening. So as much as, yes, people are putting champagne on the ice, I don't think it's going to be that clear cut. Yes, Gabriel Jesus does bring a fantastic and dynamic striking ability to the team. I think that Saka will also be a key player for me. If you play fantasy league, those are the two players that I would obviously try and look at, trying to add in on that if you do look in terms of the fantasy. But what I've gone for is my play is Palace or Arsenal, and both teams to score at 33-20.
So a double chance.
Palace or Arsenal, and both teams to score 33-20. I think it's going to be exciting. The fans are going to be there in full voices, but it won't be clear cut as to just say that there will be an Arsenal victory.
Speaking of victories, I'll stick with you, Don, because Liverpool starts off Saturday, and it's against Fulham. At Craven Cottage, how are you feeling? It's a first game back for Liverpool now in the new season.
Yeah, so Liverpool obviously kick off the proverbial early kickoff on a Saturday, and we all know my feelings on that from last season. And if you look at the opening game last season, Liverpool versed a newly promoted team in Norwich, and we beat them 3-0. I think, and it was also away. Mm-hmm. Fulham, for me, are the yo-yo team. They come up, they go down. Yes, Mitrovic was phenomenal last season in the Championship, but can he do it in the Premier League is always been the question. I don't think that. Yes, they've strengthened. Fulham have strengthened in getting Andres Pereira in the midfield, but for me, I just think that Liverpool will be too strong. Looking at the odds, yes, the odds are too short. So I've gone a bit of value. I've gone first half away, number of corners, 4+ at 21-20. I think that Liverpool will start the press. They will come in, they will hit the blocks early, and will put Fulham under the cosh very early.
Mm, I like that bet, Chad.
Yeah, no, I think, Don said, Fulham obviously been impressive in the Championship. Alexander Mitrovic has been electric. But there's only one winner, yeah. It's quite easy to call.
You're going to say there's only one Alexander Trent.
Well, I just think Liverpool should prove too strong for them. I think they have so much class about them, so much quality.
In terms of finding value, though, I get Don is like trying to scrape up, and not scrape up odds, but I mean it's chasing in the right direction with the corner bet, because Liverpool will press high, but
yeah,
Liverpool's 90-minute betting odds don't really entice for me.
Yeah, look, yeah, the 3-10 is short, but at the same time that will come in. Mm-hmm. If you want a definite bet, they all add up if you take a multiple. I think it's a certain. I think Don's bets as well comes in. Also Liverpool and over 2.5 goals at 15-20. That's a good play as well. But either way, Liverpool should brush their opponents aside.
Even with the mixed bag of preseason results.
Oh, there we go.
I'm just saying that.
Cover ups, of course. Don, Stevie G, his Aston Villa side, travelled to Bournemouth on the opening day. Of course, newcomers, but not newcomers to the Premier League. They've been there, they've done it, and by done it, I mean get relegated. So they've done the Fulham, they've gone the Fulham way, and that's up and down. You mentioned yo-yo.
Yeah, no, I think Bournemouth are going to struggle this season if I look at them on paper. And for me, Villa on paper should win this game. If you look at what I consider the spine of the team, they've got Martinez in gold, Mings, Coutinho and Danny Ings. I think that those four players will be key for Villa. And they've got exciting youngsters that are also playing. I think there's a kid Bailey in the midfield that's also
Leon Bailey.
Yeah, that's been phenomenal in preseason. Whether he starts in the games, Stevie knows currently. I've actually tipped Bournemouth to go down the season, so I think that Villa should get the easy victory for me at 21-20.
Yeah, I think you can't disagree with that. I think just Bournemouth, you know, there's no, I don't see much quality in their squad. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think they a couple of players short in terms of quality. You know, you can't. They've kept the bulk of their championship squad that got promoted, that earned promotion to the Premier League. And yes, they'll be fired up for this game. It's the opening game of the season. They'll be, you know, the home support will be there cheering them on. Back in the big time, they'll be high in confidence, excited, all of that. But you just have to look at quality, and you just can't look past Aston Villa's quality that they have. Don mentioned the spine. And, you know, there's so many other players that we've left out. Ollie Watkins, what a striker.
Yeah.
What a player. You know,
Wendy, so... Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they've got quality, and they might have to sweat for it just because it's the opening game, and you know, it's still teams are still I think most teams are will approach the opening games a bit cautious. With a cautious approach to it. But, you know, Aston Villa have the quality, and eventually, after knocking on the door a couple of times, they'll find their way, and they should get the job done. I think I back them to claim all 3 points.
For the most part, we've gone with the away teams. I mean, of course, so far being Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Chad, but I'm dying to know what you think about Leeds and Wolves, because anyone who's followed the podcast in the past 18 months or 2 years or so, whatever it's been, it's... These two teams have always been the teams you've called overrated. You've called them all sorts of names. You've said Leeds are this, Wolves are that. So I'm dying to know how you feel about them this season. And then, of course, tell our listeners who's going to win.
Yeah, no, I think... look, I've always... Okay, perhaps I've been very strong and harsh on Leeds just because of the... Like, I've never been a fan of that. Like, yes, they've always played fantastic football, and they continue to do so under Jesse Marsh. But, you know, I just feel... Well, Wolves are more of a established Premier League club. They are experienced, regardless of the manager. They do have a good manager, by the way. But even from Nuno Espirito Santo's days up until now, they've been, you know, they tend to they just have a structure. They have the know-how of how to approach certain games, certain opponents. I think, you know, Don, you were talking about Bournemouth struggling in relegation. I say Leeds will be there. They've lost some big players. They've lost Calvin Phillips. They've lost Calvin Phillips. They've lost Rafinha. It's a massive blow. Both players are a massive blow. The striker, Bamford, he's very good, but he can't seem to stay fit. He has a lot of injury problems, very injury prone. So, you know, and even the way they've approached games has on top of that coupled with the fact that they've lost some big key players, I think that they are in big trouble this season. And I think it starts off that way with them in trouble. I think Wolves win this game.
Again, Don, another away team winning it. Of course, we've got the big one at the end of the Saturday where Chelsea fans is the away team again, I'm sure. But
yeah, dude, so I've
we'll get to that.
I've said this in terms of the Leeds Wolves game. Yes, it's going to be a big miss, and I totally agree with Chad in this one in saying that. It's a big miss in Rafinha for me. Both Chelsea and Leeds will rue that they couldn't keep him.
You saw that as well.
Yeah.
No.
But and I think Wolves in bolstering in his squad, in keeping Raul Jimenez for me, and obviously the return of Adam Traore, Leeds will struggle this season. They will flirt with the relegation zone. They'll
be seeking revelation.
Yeah, in the relegation zone. I think that Leeds are the second team that I've actually tipped to go down, purely just because of their ability of not keeping those key players that you've just mentioned. What I've gone for is also looked in terms of the away market, and I've gone for the away number of corners, 4+ in the first half at 7-2. I think that's massive value.
It could be
value
a popular bet
because
this season.
It could be a very popular bet, and only reason why is that I think that Wolves will have that high pressing football that we tend to use to knowing. Mm-hmm. And if Adam Torres does start, he will definitely run right on that wing. He's big, he's physical, and he's
quick. They'll oil him up. No, nice.
Yeah, they will oil him up quite cool for that one, for the ladies. Yeah, so yeah, I think I'm all over Wolves on this one.
Speaking of popular bets, we do have a national promotion that's up and running now. Of course, it's our latest Shibobo competition. All you need to do is bet 20 rand or more on soccer, and you could stand a chance to win your share of 750,000 rand. I know where my 20 rand or more is going, and that's going to be on Newcastle, Chad. I make them my bank of the week, and I think the way they finished off last season, that home crowd, I saw it firsthand with Arsenal, where we went there needing to just to put in a performance and just couldn't. So Newcastle for me, bank of the weekend. I'm including them in everything. I'm going to take Newcastle and some lucky numbers with Lotto and try something with the Commonwealth Games. I'm going all in. This is my do or die. How you feel?
Well, just before I give you my opinion on that, looking for a 20 rand bet, make sure you take a look in this week's SBN, and our tempting tenor is 200 to 1.
Sure.
So so put a 20 rand on that, and you could win 4,000 rand. Looking at the Newcastle Nottingham game, Newcastle have been excellent. It's a lot of fuss about them going into the season. I think they did brilliantly last season, yeah, ending off on a high. They got so many points. And they were brilliant to watch. They've got some personnel as well, and Bruno Gomes. They've got some quality players in their squad. St. Maximum, they managed to keep him. Mm-hmm. Nottingham Forest, it's a great club, a club with great history, iconic club. But Newcastle, that's a difficult first trip. There's a lot of like hype and expectation about Newcastle, and it's justified. I mean, they showed us what they're capable of last season. They look good this season. They showing ambition once again. They've had a £50 million bid rejected for Madison, but like the owners are showing ambition. Mm-hmm. They looking to add to what is already a talented squad, and I think they. This is where we're going to break the away chain and go for a home win. Yeah, I think 13 to 20, that has to be included in all bet multiples.
Finally.
I totally agree. I think the Eddie Howe project that he's done at Newcastle has been fantastic. It's been remarkable. I think when the new owners came into Newcastle, everybody thought, okay, here's the new Man City. They're just going to come out and they're going to buy and splash out cash.
No plan, just throw money.
Yeah, with no directive plan. I think with Eddie Howe at the helm, they've been very prudent in terms of where they've purchased, mm-hmm, and in where they've built in. And I can see that, yes, Eddie Howe is doing fantastically. He's reminding me of when he was at Bournemouth. He made sure that Bournemouth stayed above and punched above their weight on, mm-hmm, many, many fronts. I'm not saying that Newcastle will punch above their weight, because Newcastle is a massive club. It's a fantastic club. And the ask for Nottingham Forest will be steep. But if you look at what Nottingham Forest have built in terms of their squad, they've signed Dean Henderson, they've signed Nico Williams, and they've signed Jesse Lingard, who are three players that have actually played in the Premier League before and, mm-hmm, have got the Premier League experience. And I think that could be the game changer over a long period of time for Nottingham Forest.
In terms of match day one, though?
Yeah, I think in terms of match day one, I'm all over Newcastle. I've gone for over 2.5 goals and both teams to score at 31 to 20.
Tell you what, Newcastle, Nottingham Forest, I'm sure this must have been a fixture and a half in the 90s.
Or in the 70s. Yeah.
Chad, Tottenham against Southampton, my second best team in the league. Well, my second favourite team. Not because of Southampton, because I'm anti-Spurs, so whoever played Tottenham become my second favourite.
Yeah, you know, we spoke about Newcastle, a lot of fuss about them. There's a lot of hype about Spurs this season.
Way too much.
A lot of hype, a lot of swagger, a lot of confidence from their players. Like, look how Neil Green's behaving in the WhatsApp chats.
So I won't stop him.
It's Spurs, yes, they are. Look, they've strengthened their squad massively. They've Conte's been backed with, I think it's 6 signings. But it's not just, yes, they aren't the flashiest of names, but they are, they're not, it's fair to say,
they can't say
it's
like
not
players.
Quantity, it is quality, and they can't say like players. This is,
quantity.
It's, you know, Richarlison, he's a fighter. He's kind of the type of player you'd expect Antonio Conte to want. Spence was fantastic at Nottingham Forest, and this is why we also expect him to struggle, because he was arguably their best player. And also, the player
Perisic,
Ivan Perisic, is one who's Bissouma. Won the Serie A title under Conte, so he's quality. Basuma's quality. They've got a good squad, actually, and this is why a lot of people, and whether maybe we think that it's a bit maybe they're getting a bit carried away, but I understand why the talk is there of a potential title charge. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying I even like believe it's going to happen, but I do understand why they are confident. Because
did you say title charge?
No, to be fair, I have seen that type of talk. It's been all over social media.
I think whoa.
Tottenham fans don't.
It's been all over ESPN as well.
I'm clearly reading the wrong papers or reading the wrong tips here, because I think, yes, as much as Conte has strengthened and yes, he has bought in his type of players and he has made a Spurs team. They're still Spurs, guys.
Exactly.
Okay. They and no disrespect to Spurs.
But
honestly, I want to jump on that bandwagon. But like, what does that mean, honestly? Because they have strengthened. Yes, they're still Spurs, but they remember they have a serial winner in Conte. Conte has never ever been satisfied with challenging for top four. He's not a manager like that. He's a serial winner.
But my point is and
he wants the big trophies. Yes, and Tottenham have
Levy has come out and Levy's backed him in the owner. And Conte has done that. I think baby steps for me is what I'm going to tell them. If you're a Spurs supporter out there, look at Carabao Cup. Yes, look at FA Cup. But I can tell you right now, top four take that with Bodan.
At the same time, they finished fourth last season. Like, what is your objective? Is that going to be your objective every season? Do you not try and
if you're playing in the big leagues with City, Liverpool, Chelsea,
you're trying to close the gap.
Arsenal,
though. You're trying to be ambitious and you're trying to close the gap.
I totally agree. But I'm saying
I just feel like this is not Tottenham's first top manager. They've had a Mourinho, they've had top coaches before, and
but all those other top coaches have moved, all those other top coaches have done something. Well, Conte has done something that all those other managers have not been able to do, which is get money out of the owner.
Yeah,
okay. So
Pochettino wasn't even bad.
100%.
And a back. I've always said a back Conte is a dangerous Conte
for sure.
So for me, I hear the conversation. I've backed them as my super bet this weekend. I've gone for a match bet and both teams to score. Spurs and yes at 39-20. I think that looks at as a solid bet.
I don't think Southampton will score.
I do think Spurs win this fixture, but just about. And I'm not blowing smoke or anything for this season. I think Spurs will be exactly what they are, and that's not the type of team that we can paint the Manchester City brush or the Liverpool brush with. It's Tottenham, and Tottenham will be in and around the Chelsea-Arsenal mix, and I'd even go as far as saying Man United, because
last season Southampton drew with Spurs and beat them 3-2.
I also think that, if you're Spurs...
I'm just saying, so they have got goals
Spurs,
in them.
Spurs have, obviously, we've talked about them being back. They've strengthened their squad. But they can also look at last season and think, look, we made the top four. We completed a Premier League double over Manchester City. We can build on that.
Mm.
We can go, and we need to... it's putting the smaller teams away that has been a hurdle for us for some reason. And I think Conte is capable of just ironing out those creases. And I do think there's potential. Trust me, I don't like Spurs just as much as Jesse, but like I honestly I honestly, there's concern. Like I'm looking at my own team and I'm like, there's a bit of concern here.
Well, I like the rivalry that's coming in terms of from the London clubs. I've also looked at another bet in terms of Song anytime goal scorer at 12-10. For the guys that obviously play the fantasy league, I think Son, only
just
one.
Dishing out just can't wait
to get yeah, yeah, I can't wait.
Loves to see
the one.
Team,
the one. He's only the one player that didn't score double figures at his home game. He only blanks once. So yeah, so Song for me, anytime goal scorer at 12 to 10. He's also been phenomenal in preseason, scoring 2 goals, put 4 assists.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got his. His boots inch.
I just realized this fixture is Pierre-Emil Højbjerg welcoming back his former club, of course. But then, speaking of former clubs and iconic midfielders, we spoke about Vieira going back to about entertaining Arsenal. We have the same. I feel like you know where I'm going with this, Don. Frank, we've got super Frankie Lampard hosting Chelsea,
yeah.
Entertaining the club where he spent so much of his time and won so many trophies. And in fact, got I think the youngest Premier League team ever into the top four. So yeah. I stand to be corrected on that stat, but that's just from what I remember. And
you're right.
Tough call, I think.
It's a tough call because of Goodison Park being a hoodoo side for us.
Mm.
I think you have to respect that. I mean, you can't just say, no, Chelsea to win easily.
Listen,
you can't just say Chelsea win easily when their head-to-head shows that they've lost each of their last 5 trips to Goodison Park. So it just doesn't make sense. You have to look at everything.
And didn't beat them at all last season. We drew at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, no, we didn't. But this is a new season and there's a time for change. And I think that you know, Everton are weakened going into this first game. And of course, I mean, it's well documented that Chelsea have had disappointing pre-season results, haven't gone their way. And on top of that, what's worse is performances as well. Tuchel hasn't helped the situation by, you know, like just throwing some players like Timo Werner and so on under the bus. So while there's that negative aspect on Chelsea, Everton are weakened going into this game. They are without Calvert-Lewin. They've lost Richarlison, 2 players that hurt us in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Chelsea, for the first game, I think we would be quite prepared for this mm-hmm. game. I think we would be fired up for it as well. I think the signings, Chelsea have done some good business. A lot of people aren't looking at that. A lot of people aren't talking about that, but Chelsea have done good business. Yes, they've been bullied by Barcelona in the transfer window, but look at Kalidou Koulibaly, arguably an upgrade on Antonio Rudiger, Raheem Sterling, an upgrade on Romelu Lukaku. It's possible that Chelsea get De Jong or Aubameyang, whoever.
You can treat Conor Gallagher as a new signing. Conor Gallagher
and Broya are set to stay in the squad, and then Marco Correa could be in the squad on the weekend if that deal's done. Before then. So Chelsea have quality in their squad. Also with the 5 subs rule, they can change it up. They can bring quality on for quality. I'm not going to be too confident because I've been confident in the past, and we go to Goodison Park where we're in good form and we end up losing. But I just think Chelsea go and win this game.
Chelsea are usually could start to any Premier League season, don't I think bar one season, I think it was
Leicester
season where Burnley had beaten him and there was a few own goals and stuff from Luiz and red cards, but that was just, you know, a once-off. So I think Chelsea could start the season off strongly, and chance expecting a favour from Frank Lampard. Don, how do you see it?
Yeah, it's one-way traffic for me because as much as the Frank Lampard derby we speak about, Chelsea at seven to ten is
that going in your multiples?
As a gift,
you 20 rand bets.
You add that to your 20 rand bets. I'm even looking at a bullish market currently of Chelsea on the handicap at 33 to 20.
That's a minus one.
Yeah, okay. So Chelsea on the minus one handicap. I think Raheem Sterling coming back to Merseyside will want to hit the ground running. Yes, he's a fantastic signing. He's a Premier League scorer. He's a Premier League winner. Koulibaly is defensively sound. Yes, Chelsea will know how to shut Everton out. And Goodison struggled last season. Frank Lampard struggled. I'm tipping the Frank Lampard to be one of the managers to get sacked this season. It's going to be an uphill battle for me. I think that, yeah, writing's on the wall for me with Everton. I don't see any significant strengthening coming through from the club.
Mm. I mean, they linked with Michy Batshuayi.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at...
I do wish we had those markets to be sacked. I'd get in on Lampard.
Yeah, I understand it. If Everton have another season like that, no chance he stays.
But I think that if you look at their first four or five games, it's uphill battle. You know, so there is no easy fixture in this Premier League. And I think to start off with the iconic Titanic Chelsea team that can run riot and have got goal scorers in every position, in my opinion. I think Reece James for me is going to be key. He's going to be fit. He's going to be ready to go. You know, they play.
He's been on penalty duty.
Yeah, so they will come off on the wings. They will be playing off. That relishes for Raheem Sterling on the other side. For me, Beck is sound in terms of the goalkeeper, and Koulibaly are going to be very much critical. If you liken them to what Alisson and Van Dijk is, that's definitely the combination and how they're going to work. So defensively, they're going to be sound. As much as Chad's trying to play down Chelsea's hopes and things, they are still linked with a number of key good signings that they could sign before the window closes. So they no pushover. I'm actually looking at the -1 market, 33-20 for me.
Interesting indeed. Just the three games to touch on Sunday, Don, I'll stick with you. Leicester against Brentford. Of course, Brentford looking to start the season off the way they did last season, and that's against a victory against one of the top teams in the league. How do you think it could go for the Bees?
Yeah, no, the Bees for me are going to be fantastic. Yes, they've lost Eriksen. I think it was a bad move on his part.
On his part,
To lose, to leave Brentford to go to United. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. Yes, Leicester have also lost Kasper Schmeichel in their captain and a sound goalkeeper. And I think Brendan Rodgers, he's got an aging squad now.
About coaches to be sacked, his name there.
I think he's definitely the second name that goes into that pot that's going to be under pressure.
Guys, don't learn about Leicester. Every season,
this is the first season I'm saying this.
Every season we write them off, and they're always thereabouts.
The only reason I'm writing them off this season,
last season was a bad one.
But my opinion of them is I can't see them doing any better. They are losing players, okay? And Kasper Schmeichel, for me, is a massive blow. For him to leave the club for £1 million tells me that there's something going on in the dressing room. You know, it wasn't even spoken about. He just left. Boom, just like that. And I think that's the worrying factor, and this is why I'm throwing. I think there's an underlying current that's going on at Leicester that probably we don't see. But coming back to my prediction for the weekend, I've gone Leicester or Brentford, and both teams to score at 14-10. I think Ivan Toney to get onto the score sheet is a thing. And I think purely because of the goalkeeper and the defensive woes of Leicester City, there could be goals.
Obviously, life without Christian Pulisic, will Brentford lose their stint?
Eriksen.
I mean, yes.
Eriksen, sorry. Pulisic, I think that was a bit more close to home.
I just can't wait for him to go. No, I'm joking. But like, life without Christian Eriksen, will the Bees lose their sting? I think so. I think he's that good of a player. He's quality. Remember, Manchester United are a powerhouse in world football, regardless of their position.
Powerhouse.
Well, I mean, club, okay. Club wise. Yeah. Okay. So, like, they still.
It's shirt sales.
So look, they're gonna wanna. I think Eriksen is a big loss. Yes, Damsgaard will come in hopefully, and I think he'd be a good addition. But Christian Eriksen, I mean, like, you think of the Brentford-Chelsea game. That's probably one of the most, that's a game that stands out, Brentford at their best for me. And they tore us apart, Christian Eriksen pulling the strings. He was all over us. We couldn't get near him. He was unplayable on the day. So that's a big blow for them. As for Leicester, Arsenal looking at all different targets, it's possible that Yuri Tielemans will want to really impress. Could be his last game. I just, you know, it could
for
be...
For Fana as well. Linked to Chelsea.
Yeah, so well, actually he doesn't want to be picked because he's trying to get out of... He's trying to push for a move. But I do think that Leicester have enough quality about them to perhaps edge a hard-fought encounter. I don't think it'll be like guaranteed Leicester. I think Brentford are dangerous and can't sleep on them. But just think with home ground advantage, both teams to score is a nice play, but I think perhaps Leicester to edge it.
Leicester.
Yeah.
Man United against Brighton. I'm not too sure who wants to start here because I'm sure we all have a lot to say about this team. They host Brighton. Many expecting different things for them this season, of course. I'm expecting...
improvements?
I am expecting improvements. And yeah. Man United under Ten Hag, it could either go horribly wrong or it could go perfectly well, where the style of play that they're playing, they will be easy to watch. They'll be much more entertaining and much more free-flowing. But I feel like they could be a bit more leaky in defence, and they needed someone Mourinho-like, and especially with the defenders that they have that are very shaky at the moment and under the system could be caught at quite easily. So Maguire, Varane, Lindelof,
they've got Eric Rey Mysterio at the back.
Yeah. Whoever plays centre back is just going to have a terrible time playing this high line. So I feel like Brighton could fancy their chances. I'm not going to say Brighton will win this fixture, but that's for you guys to decide.
Brighton won this fixture last season 4-0 with Ronaldo playing.
Look, for me, it's similar to the Leeds game where we spoke about Calvin Phillips and Rafinha leaving. Look, it's possible Cucurella signs for Chelsea. They've already lost Bissouma.
But he hasn't signed for Chelsea yet.
It's inevitable. I mean, when Fabrizio says, here we go. But like apart from that, you look at the two players. They've got Bissouma as well that they've lost, arguably their best player. Player of the season is going to leave. So Manchester United at home with the Old Trafford faithful cheering them on, everyone keen to get their first glimpse of Erik ten Hag. They have been impressive in pre-season. They've looked the part. There's clearly an identity. They're going to play attacking football. They look good. They're gelling together. And like there's some players that have been frozen out in the past and gone, even went on loan, like Martial, who's come in and looks... Like, everyone looks united. Mm. You know, they look like they're up for it. They look like they are ready to silence their critics, and I don't think we can write them off. I was joking about the signing, Lisandro Martinez. He looks a very good player on the ball, but his height is that's the only thing that worries me about him. I honestly think Arsenal, the best thing they could have done was walk away from that deal because he's too short, and this is the Premier League. Brighton have some big guys in there for corners and stuff. And Martinez is likely to start. It'll be interesting to see, but I think Man United win the game.
I think it's fair to say, judging off what Chad said, I know he did say Man United to win the game, but he did mention the defensive frailties, and if Lisandro Martinez does play, Brighton can have the set-piece advantage as well. So possibly Man United to win, both teams to score. I don't know what's your play.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't think
Man United win.
Okay, last season, Brighton 4, Man United 0. I just have to repeat that. But this season, new season, new coach, new broom sweeps clean. Benny's in the 18 area. Guys, for me... If you're a United fan out there, you got to be excited. I think United get off to a winning start. I cannot agree more with Chad in terms of Brighton. They are going to struggle because they're losing so many of their good players. Bissouma, for me, is a massive blow for them. I think the player that's going to be leaving them,
Cucurella,
is equally as yeah. big. You can't lose two of your most important players in the same window. And for me, having said that, Brighton become my third team that will go down.
Sure. They are getting Levi Colwill still.
Yeah, so I'm letting you know now that for me, I think it's going to be one-way traffic. I've gone for United on the handicap minus 115 to 10. Ronaldo getting goal shooting advice from Benny will definitely be critical, and that for me is a value bet of the weekend. Minus one handicap 15 to 10.
I agree with the most parts. I just don't like the fact that you said Brighton will get relegated. That I think is
how Brighton get relegated.
I think that's a bit far fetched in this Premier League season. Brighton have lost players before. They've lost Ben White.
They've lost Ben White
and got better defensively. And I know it sounds crazy. That's how Arsenal were when Arsenal lost to Aubameyang and got Brighton better attacking.
Brighton will struggle on the road. They travel to Old Trafford and they will get hammered.
I won't entirely disagree with that, but what I would say is the one-way traffic parts. I haven't seen Brighton be outsmarted with 80% possession against their 20. Graham Potter just doesn't do that. Doesn't happen to him in any competition. So that's a bit far-fetched for me.
If you look at Man United's preseason and they've shown that they've
pre-Benny.
I think Ten Hag has come through with a DNA that will excite United fans. Donny van der Beek coming back into the fold, coming out the cold, I should say. Sancho for me has been playing like a new player, showing why he's their price tag. You can't write off Cristiano Ronaldo. You write him off at your own peril. Rashford for me is another player that's looking the part. Martial's looking the part. I think going forward, they've got Bruno Fernandes. They've got Eriksen that's coming to the fold. They've lost their cancer in terms of poor problems. They can close the door on that. And I've said that is the reason why Man United will always struggle was poor problems. And now you will see. They will be scoring goals. They will be
the scapegoat this season.
No, I'm not using him as a scapegoat. I think defensively they're going to be shaky. There will be questions, but for me it's only one way, and I can see United winning this year.
Let's talk about the champions to wrap things up. Manchester City is seeking to do what only one team has ever done before, and that's won 3 Premier League titles in a row, of course, being that team being the team we just discussed and just said how rubbish they can be, Man United. So Manchester City look to do a feat done by one other. In terms of whether they'll do it or not, time will tell. But in terms of the opening day fixture, Chad, they've got a tricky tie against West Ham.
Yeah, potential upset.
Upset meaning West Ham score.
No, West Ham took a 2-goal lead the last time. Last time they met,
so how's this one
City
going?
City came back and earned a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
I think they can't allow West Ham that opportunity again because this time they might not come back. I think West Ham deserve credit. I mean, they stick to their guns. This team, you know, they've fought off interest from Chelsea and Man United and all whoever wanted Declan Rice. They've kept their key player. They've added Gianluca Scamacca, a highly rated striker, Italian striker, who, let's not forget, they've beaten PSG to his signature.
Arsenal were once interested as well.
But West Ham have always been that
Chelsea
club.
Chelsea had scouted him as well.
West Ham have always been that club that can attract big names. Okay,
yeah. Payet
comes to mind when we say that. Is that they've always been able to do that, and David Moyes for me is no pushover manager. I'm a massive fan of Moyes, I am thrilled at the job that he's doing at West Ham because he just makes. If you're looking at the London clubs, he puts West Ham into a conversation. In terms of where they are, he makes London derbies become meaningful again.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they will score. I've gone for City and both teams to score. I think City are too powerful. Mm-hmm. Pep knows that he cannot afford to slip up against a top half of the team top eight
position.
Yeah, a top eight team. Yes, they've got a probably arguably the toughest fixture in an opening fixture. And West Ham is no pushover, but City for me, Haaland. Come on, guys. Everybody's telling me Haaland's going to score 20-plus goals. He's going to do this. He might not miss that many.
And now you're going to believe it.
And yeah, but I won't believe it. City and both teams to score 19 to 10. I think that's massive value. And I've added that into my multiple for my quad.
So I'm going to go against that, surprisingly. Never thought I would even say this, but Premier League is full of upsets. From the opening day till the final day, there's upsets. Last season, we remember the opening game of the season was Arsenal-Brentford. I say Manchester City will drop points in this game. I'll back West Ham on the double chance and both teams to score. I think City haven't impressed me in the transfer window. They started off like instilling fear. I remember we had a phone call and you put the phone call down the phone down after I told you Haaland was joining. Yep. You were like, you lost. Like, I just think that City, their business hasn't gone well. Like, it's almost as bad as Chelsea's preseason. It's like their transfer activity. They've lost. Yes, they've added Haaland, Calvin Phillips. They've lost Raheem Sterling. They've lost Gabriel Jesus. Premier League proven. They've lost Zinchenko, who came on that final day and changed the game for them.
I don't know why they've lost those players to rivals.
But it's not just losing. Yeah, they've lost them to rivals, which is new of City. And then on top of that, their targets, they've lost out on. They've had the Cucurella deal hijacked. It's just not going their way. It started off well with the Haaland deal, the Calvin Phillips, but it's not looking good for them. I see City will be City. I still back them to win the league, but I think there's going to be games where they drop more points. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to it'll be a bit of a slow start. I think they'll get their business. They'll get their campaign kicked off next season. I think they drop points, yeah.
Gentlemen, the opening podcast, opening round of fixtures, discussing this in this podcast has been an absolute joy. I look forward to the season, as do many. I'm sure you guys do too, gentlemen. All the best for the new season, Chad. I hope Chelsea finish fourth. If they do finish higher, Arsenal should finish second or first. That's the only way I'm seeing it at dawn. Before I wish Liverpool the best of luck this season, I do think they'll win the league. But before I wish them, well, you've got a quad for us, for the listeners.
I've got an opening weekend quad for you. Arsenal both teams to score against Crystal Palace 8-10. Chelsea to win at 7-10. Man City and both teams to score 19-10, and Man United to win at 6-10. That quad will give you 13-1, and that will where will buy 20 rand be going to.
Don, you will never walk alone. This season I feel like Liverpool will do it.
Thank you.
Until next week, gents.
Cheers.
Cheers.